Welcome back in, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland. We are live at the Nashville Super Speedway as the Ally 400 coming up on Sunday. We'll get things started tonight with the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series tomorrow, and then the Big Daddy, the Cup Series, returns for the first time since 1984, and that is going to be awesome on Sunday. We say hello now to Kyle Petty of NBC Sports. He does a tremendous job with their NASCAR coverage. So 1984 at the fairgrounds, I'm pretty sure Kyle Petty would have raced out there. Am I right?
I did race out there, man. So that was, I guess, 80, 81, 82, 83, four of those 4 or 5 years before before we went away. And then I used to come up here with my dad all the time. So I've been to the fairgrounds a million times. I'm looking forward to the Nashville Super Speedway, man. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, this 1.3-mile facility. And, yeah, the name Petty in NASCAR, obviously a big one, but Nashville in NASCAR was once a big deal, and it feels like, Kyle, that it's becoming a big deal again. It's really cool to see the sport want to be here.
Yeah, you know what, and I look at this both ways, because it's cool to see the sport want to be here, but it's cool to see the city and the area want the sport to come back and be a part of this. You know, I've said it, you know, we've been talking about this for ever since they made the announcement. It seems like, you know, NASCAR was the left hand and music and Nashville was the right hand. And finally, these guys are back together again. You know what I mean? And they fit perfectly and they work perfectly together and they're in sync. And, you know, it is everything that we thought, that everybody thought it always was. I mean, we used to come up here in the 70s and go to the Opry at the Ryman with Marty Robbins. He would take Cale Yarborough and Bobby Allison and my dad and guys like that, and stand on the side of the stage at the Opry. So, I mean, we've always had that connection with different guys who have come out of the music industry and been a part of NASCAR. But, to be back in this town is really special.
And, you know, the unique part about it, Kyle, is, you know, they're racing out here at the Nashville Super Speedway. Eric Moses and his crew, they've done a great job fixing this place up. It sat here for 10 years and nothing was going on. And now they're hosting cup racing. But, you know, the fairgrounds is still a very real possibility with SMI and Marcus Smith, those guys. How crazy would it be for one market to host two races at two different facilities? That's something the closest, I guess, you could really say that's happened is when the Xfinity and Truck Series raced at IRP and the Cup was at Indy Motor Speedway.
I'm not going to say it's not unheard of. I will say it's kind of crazy, but I mean, listen, Nashville's got to be excited. You've got the Cup cars coming and everybody out at the Speedway, out at National Super Speedway. And at the same time, you're having an Indy car race in the streets, man. So everybody's coming to town. So if you want to throw the fairgrounds into that mix, you can't have a conversation about Nashville and motorsports without having a conversation and including the fairground speedway in it. Just because Neil Bonnet raced there, Cuckoo Marlin, Sterling Marlin, Neil Bonnet, everybody that was anybody, Darrell Walter, came through and cut their teeth there in the lesser divisions and was there in the NASCAR division. So, you know, it's part of it. That would be crazy to think we came to town twice in two different locations. Man, if we're going to come to town twice, if NASCAR is going to come to town twice and run the Super Speedway, the short track, why don't we just run in the streets with the Indy cars too? Why don't we just take over the whole town?
Kyle Petty is with us from NBC Sports. You have a new primetime TV series, Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty, which is going to premiere on July 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on Circle Network and Peacock. That sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us a little more about it.
Listen, it was a lot of fun. And the premise of the show is give me a vehicle, whether it's a boat, plane, train, automobile, I don't care, that's sentimental to you. Dale Jr. is our first episode, and his is a 1988 Chevy S10 pickup. Davis Love III was a fishing boat. That's his sentimental. Darius Rucker, I did one with him, and his is a Karmann Ghia, a convertible Karmann Ghia he rides around Charleston in. So, that's a gateway. That gets you into a conversation about, you know, what they are, who they are, You know, Dale Jr. talks about his concussions. He talks about his wife and his kids. Darius talks about how much Charleston and how much Charleston, South Carolina meant to him, and how much that's just a part of his soul and who he is and how he reacts to things and the man that he's become and the singer that he is. So I did my dad, Mario Andretti, Ric Flair, man. I'm looking forward to everybody seeing the Ric Flair episode. It was pretty cool. You know, I'm doing Pitbull. That I'm excited about that. Herschel Walker. I mean, it's just an eclectic group of sportsmen and you know, entertainers and just you put them all together and they have a lot in common. And if you watch every episode, you'll see that they have a lot in common. And it was just a lot of fun for me. And I tell people, thank you, Circle Network, for allowing me to do something that I wanted to do, because if everybody watches it and nobody likes it, I still had a good time doing it. That's kind of guy I am. I just had a good time doing it.
How cool is it? You mentioned Pitbull, to have him now involved in the sport as a car owner with Trackhouse. I mean, it shows how diverse this sport is becoming, but it also goes back to what we were just talking about, mixing music and entertainment and then racing.
Yeah. You know, listen, I think the sport made a huge deal and rightfully so, with Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan and, you know, Bubba Wallace. But the surprise team to me has been Daniel Suarez and Justin Marks and those guys. And to add Pitbull into that mix, it just brings a totally different market. I mean, as we look at the demographics, it's a demographic changer. It is a changer. Danica Patrick was. You looked in the grandstands. You saw more little girls. You saw more female fans. I think as we look in the grandstands and we see, you know, Daniel started it with Coca-Cola, Daniel's Amigos, the Hispanics and Latino market that would come to the racetrack to watch Daniel race. And now you throw Pitbull in and his Mr. Worldwide, and everybody knows who he is. And we look at things and you look in the grandstands. That's a different demographic that this market is, or that the sport is pulling now. And it's because of entertainment and the mix of entertainment and sports.
So Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be on the debut episode on July 8th of Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty. You two share a common bond in the fact that you were the next generation of, you know, you had your grandfather, Lee, your dad, Richard, that were champions and race winners. Dale had Dale Sr., obviously, Ralph Earnhardt, his grandfather. That is not easy by any means to follow that legacy. So what has that, I guess, relationship been like, even though you have a age difference and now you work together at NBC, but what is that like of sharing that common bond of knowing that you have your own legacy, but there's one that you were born into?
You know what? I think, and I've said this before, and listen, if you know, people know my dad and they know I'm not anything like my dad. I don't look like him. I don't walk like him. I don't talk like him. And you know, Dale Jr. is the same way. If you need Dale Sr., Dale Jr. is his own man. And I think, you know, we look at each other and we understand that. It's just unspoken. We are who we are. Yes, we grew up in the shadow of greatness and went off and did things on our own. But, you know, and that's a part of who we are. Man, he's proud of his dad, and I'm so proud of my dad, and always will be. And that's life. That's the guy that lives around the corner from you, and the guy that works in the grocery store. You know, you're just proud of your parents and who they are. But at the same time, there's a little bit of, you know, when somebody says something, you know the answer. You look at it. And it's funny. I had to ask him when we did Dinner Drive. My first question was, okay, tell me the truth. What's the question you get asked the most in your whole life, that you've been asked your whole life? What is that question? And he's like, yeah, man, what's Dale Earnhardt like? And I'm like, exactly, because I get, what's Richard Petty like? That is the question. So there are things that we have in common and that we share. And it's just that growing up in that shadow, growing up that way. But you know what? I don't think either one of us would change anything. We'd be exactly the people we are no matter what.
A few weeks ago, Hendrick Motorsports became the all-time winningest cup team, passing Petty Enterprises. And, you know, records, as they say, are meant to be broken. But with your family's legacy, I mean, what was that moment like when it happened? You kind of felt like it was going to happen eventually with the way Hendrick has been running as of late, this year especially. But what was that moment like from your perspective?
You know what? I think it was a great moment for the sport, for our family. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Petty Enterprises and that group and that morphed into Richard Petty Motorsports and what it is. And they've won a few races and few and far between, but not nearly as competitive as my dad was and as our home team was all those years ago. And I jokingly say it, but it's the truth. It's just a different time in the world. Think about this. When Petty Enterprises set that mark and Richard Petty was a driver, Sears Roebuck was the largest retailer in the world, and you still ordered stuff out of the Christmas catalog. When Rick Hendrick did it, Amazon controls everything. And that's the dynamics. That's the juxtaposition of Sears and Roebuck against Amazon. It's Richard Petty and Petty Enterprises and the way racing was then against what racing is now. So you can't even compare the feats, but what Rick Hendrick has built and what he has done is simply amazing. And I said it at the time. When you looked at Petty Enterprises, it had Richard Petty's fingerprints all over it. And all those wins had Richard Petty's fingerprints all over it. When you look at Hendrick Motorsports, it's the same. It's Rick's personality. It's who Rick is. It's the man Rick is. It's the values that Rick carries. And, you know, I think it's a great time in the sport, a great day in the sport when records like that are beat, because that shows the sport's still viable. That shows the sport's still growing. And listen, Kyle Larson may be the guy that sets every record from here on out because he only seems to run second or first every week. So Rick's on a roll again, so there's no telling where this number's going to end up.
Yeah, you bring up Kyle Larson. As NBC takes over for the rest of the way, they will have all the races through the championship. Kyle Larson has come on with this huge streak. He's won three races. He just won the All-Star race. You mentioned it's first or second. That seems to be where it is, but is there a driver that you've been watching through the first half of the schedule that you think maybe could challenge him?
If there is, it's inside the Hendrick camp. I think William Byron is a sleeping giant. Yep. I mean, he went on that streak of 10 or 11, you know, top 10 races or whatever, broke Jeff Gordon's record. We talk about record breaking. He broke Jeff Gordon's record on that. So I think you look at it. When that kid busts off a win or two in a row, back-to-back, then look out, because that team has gelled. But then you look at Chase Elliott, who won the championship last year, and he's always right there, too. So I've not seen anything else. I would like to think of Joey Logano. I would like to think of Denny Hamlin. I would like to think of Kyle Busch, somebody from the Gibbs organization. Martin Truex would jump up and be able to contend week in and week out. But we've not seen that over the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, and headed into this summer stretch when it's the grind and when it's the tough time, and when you've got to make points to go into our playoff season, the Hendrick guys are controlling everything.
Well, it's definitely going to be fun to watch and see who can challenge. I agree with you on William Byron, though. I think that kid is very, very talented. Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty debuts Thursday, July 8th. At 7 o'clock Central Time, his first guests will be Dale Earnhardt Jr. He'll also have Davis Love III, Darius Rucker, Mario Andretti, Ric Flair, his father, Richard Petty, and much more. Kyle, appreciate the time. It's going to be fun this weekend in Nashville, and we'll be watching on NBC.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Kyle Petty, a longtime driver and the host of Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty, which will be on Circle and Peacock, starting on July 8th. We'll have much more coming from the Nashville Super Speedway. It is Darren Donican Chase, ESPN 105 The Game.
Back here on Darren Donican Chase, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here with you on this gorgeous Friday. We're out here live in Gladeville, Tennessee at the Nashville Super Speedway. Of course, the trucks racing tonight, Xfinity race tomorrow afternoon, and then the Ally 400 on Sunday afternoon. First Cup race in over 35 years in this market, so you know it's a NASCAR weekend. By the way, you can still get tickets for tonight and tomorrow afternoon. Kids 12 and under get in free on Friday and Saturday. Keep that in mind, plus the experience, the post-race fireworks on Friday night. So it'll be a little fireworks show here tonight. That'll be cool. RV camping for NASCAR weekend is still available. There are a ton of RVs and campers here on site already. For more information, visit NashvilleSuperspeedway.com. Be sure to tune in for the Ally 400 Cup race on Sunday. Yes, we will be carrying that, and that coverage will begin at 1:30. The race begins at 2:30, but we will be covering or carrying that race right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, coming up at high noon, you just made the list. Great prize, four-day passes to Bonnaroo in early September, which will have the Foo Fighters, Lizzo, My Morning Jacket, Incubus, and many, many more. But prior to that, before we get out of here this hour, we're going to give you one more installment, one more chance to guess that Eric Clapton backwards song for you to be in Bridgestone Arena in September to see Eric Clapton. And DJ Elijah is going to spin the tune. So that's coming up in about 11:45. We will do that, but you will have to call in to participate. So get ready for that. We have had fun.
What was our song yesterday?
All week with that.
I missed yesterday. What was it?
It was the 1968 Cream song. With Cream, 1968. Any big songs come to mind?
You've guessed it before, Chase.
You have.
Oh, White Room?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Nice.
I have a doozy for today. One of my favorites.
A doozy?
It's a doozy.
I don't remember that song. What year was that? Was doozy?
73.
Well, I was very young then. Very, very young. Let's get into something we talked about yesterday on the program. David Beauclair, who's been filling in last 2 days on Robbie and Rex Road. He's in for Joe, who's
it's
on
been
vacation.
Awesome, too. Love Bokey.
Yeah, he's been obviously covering the team like Terry McCormick for a long time since they've been here. And we got into – is that a drone? Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Right around the flag stand. Impressive.
Yep.
That's a good view.
Well, I think they're letting people go up there and check out the flag stand and wave it.
I'd like to do
that. I've never been up in a flag stand.
I haven't either. I'll tell you what. That's got to be a little bit scary hanging out over the track when those cars come by at that speed.
I'm sure.
And by the way, what does it feel like?
Windy?
Well, yeah, I understand that. But I mean, is it like windy enough for you to feel extremely nervous being up there?
You couldn't pay me to do that.
Honestly, just think about hanging over that.
I'm terrified of heights,
you're
man.
Fine. You got the bar to hang on to. Like, you're good.
Yeah, but
that bar does nothing for me.
Honestly, my biggest fear would be dropping the flag. Like, I would feel safe. Like, that looks like a safe flag stand. I feel like I'd be safe.
But that's a fair thing
but
for
my
you to
biggest,
be fearful of.
My biggest fear would be like, because I'm going to be gripping it tight, which is probably good but bad at the same time. You can grip it too tight. I'm like, I'll be waving that thing. Go, please don't drop it. Please don't drop it. Please don't drop it. And it's a valid concern for me.
I could see that.
So,
and boy, you talking about the natives getting restless and turning on you. If that happened, oof.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be bad.
That'd be very bad.
There'd be 36 pissed off drivers.
Elijah, we are up on floor. We're in the penthouse. We're on floor 6. We are up here in the press box tower. And I don't know, Chase, how far up do you think this is? I mean, this is a good race.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Well, the spotters are just above us. So that kind of, for those of you that are race fans, that kind of gives you an idea. I mean, the spotters are on the roof.
I mean, we're at least 60 feet up.
Yeah.
I mean, at least.
Yeah.
So
pretty high up.
Yeah. We're probably pushing 100 feet up.
It's a great view, though. You can see the whole track.
But the elevators, I didn't know, you don't, you know, there's like a secret elevator that comes. There's one secret elevator that comes up to floor 6.
Yeah.
I was unaware of the secret elevator. So I was only able to go up to 5. And then I had to walk up the steps.
And you were not a fan of that.
No, I was not a fan.
It's a little warm
from
up there.
Floor 5 to 6. Yeah. I mean, outside, you know, and yeah, not don't look down, don't look down, don't look down. Speaking of gripping tight, I had a pretty firm grip on the rail.
So that's what it was, more the height thing.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I mean, look at the stairs. They weren't concrete. So I'm like, you know, it's like bleacher stairs. And I'm like, this doesn't, you know, that's a little loose. You know, it wasn't, but I'm just in my head. I'm like, oh, this, I told Chase immediately when I was like, man, I did not enjoy that.
The minute I feel anything moving at that height, I start moving. And like, yeah, as in shaking. I can't do that.
Yeah. I mean, thank goodness the trucks weren't out on the track. That would not have been fun.
Speaking of the trucks, I'm trying to figure out where they all went, where the makeshift garage area is. Because
they're not in the Rackley roofing garages?
No, that's the Cup garage. So the Cup guys will go over there. The Xfinity cars are all lined
where
up.
Where did they all go?
I think they're in the haulers behind the Xfinity cars. Okay. Because that's the Xfinity cars. That they've kind of had, that's where they have their garage area. But yeah, the Rackley roof, and that's where the Cup guys will go, and all their haulers are, you know, outside the racetrack. They haven't brought the haulers in yet for the Cup. But anyway, we got off track. What were you gonna bring?
By the way,
up?
Let's go before we get into the Titan stuff. Let's say congratulations to Tony Vitello. He has been named the National Coach of the Year.
Well deserved. That's awesome.
Yep. Second Vols coach in the histories of that program. Rod Del Monco got it back in 95. So,
and Corbs has won that before.
Mm-hmm.
So
just wanted to give a shout out for Tony Vitello for winning the National Coach of the Year. I don't think anybody is really floored by that, but still quite an honor for him in year. What is this, year four?
Yeah.
And Knoxville. So, Dave, I was bringing up David because he said he does not believe Julio Jones is going to have a Julio Jones type of year, because I kind of went through our over and unders. By the way, I have set an over-under for Derrick Henry carries and for Julio Jones catches.
Okay.
Julio Jones catches 79.5.
Is that around his average? Without having it in front of me, much less than his
average. It's less.
Okay. That's a good number, though. I'll say slightly over.
I took the over. Willie took the under.
Okay.
Derrick Henry carries 349.5.
Slightly under.
Slightly under.
Yep.
I still took the over. I think Willie took the under.
Because we talked last year, he was at
378.
Yeah, 378. And that the curse of 370. And
well, keep in mind, though, 17 games.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
17 games. So back to Julio. So you took the over. I took the over. Willie took the under on 79.5 catches this season. David Beauclair said between 50 and 60 catches.
Well, I think it'll be more than that.
And I thought to myself, but he did go on to say, but he's still going to chew up a lot of yards. He's going to have over 1,000 yards and possibly 1,100, even 1,200 yards. With, look, on 50 or 60 catches, that's pretty impressive. I understand he's a guy that can stretch the field and get some yak as well. But I kind of felt like if he has 55 catches, all that for 55 catches, all that hoopla, all that talk, all that excitement, all that energy, everything we've been talking about, 55 catches. By the way, Corey Davis, do you know what he caught last year?
It's, 65. Yeah.
You bring in Julio Jones and
you get less.
Corey Davis gets 65 and Julio Jones is going to get 55 and everybody thinks Derrick Henry is going to get less carries. I just don't see that. I would be really surprised if it's in the 50. And obviously, we're not talking about if he misses seven games within, like, we get
sure,
that. Like,
sure.
That's stating the obvious. Like,
he had 51 last year in 9 games.
Yeah. I would be honestly floored if he is between 50 and 60 catches in an entire season. And even if he missed a couple of games, I would be floored. I feel pretty confident in taking the over in 79.5. I just think if you're bringing in Julio Jones and everybody's on board, he's a team player. A.J. Brown was lobbying for him. He's a team player. Derrick Henry, we know, is a team player. So is Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Well, who's going to have red butt over Julio Jones having 94 catches this year or whatever the number may be?
Right. Well, and I look at, too, like 2016, he had 83 catches in 14 games, just over 1,400 yards, 6 touchdowns. He averaged 17 yards a reception. The next year in 16 games, 88 catches, 1,444, averaged 16.4, but only 3 touchdowns. That's kind of the where I'm thinking catch-wise, probably 83 to 89, 90, somewhere in there would be ideal. But, you know, if it's a tick less than that and AJ's a little bit more, and I don't think anybody's going to complain as long as they're winning and they're producing. Now, I do wonder, does the touchdown number for Julio go up at all? He hasn't been a touchdown guy much in his career. He's only got 60 career touchdowns. And had his max is 10, and that was in his second year. It's the only time he's had double digits. We know that AJ can hit the long one that we've seen a few times. Plus, you have Derrick Henry. But again, I mean, if it's 78.5 is what you've set, if it's 80 and he's still getting the production and, you know, getting him into the red zone or the end zone, then I don't think anybody's going to complain as long as the offense is clicking like it has the last few years. Now, I think sometimes we get caught up too much in receptions or carries or things like that. Just show me the end result. If the end result is 6 points on the board for the Titans, then okay, whatever.
Yeah, we base an athlete's career on stats.
I understand.
Fantasy football has helped grow the NFL. I mean, over decades. I mean, fantasy football, as we know, millions upon millions of people play fantasy football and they want numbers. So we base everything off numbers or we wouldn't have these markers in sports, right? I mean, 1,000-yard season, although really 1,000 yards is really not, especially now in 17 games. The new marker needs to be, if you want to talk about a really good year, the new marker needs to be 1,200.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Which I feel confident that he can do.
In a 16-game season, 1,000 yards is 62 yards a game.
Right.
That's nothing. Big deal. Like, that makes you special. I would say at 1,200 should be the new number.
And I agree. My point on Julio, though, is anyone going to complain if he, you know, if Tannehill fires and hits Julio for 20-yard catch, he comes down inside the 5, and then Henry either finishes it off or it's Firkser in the red zone. I don't think anybody's going to complain there. I mean, that's what you want.
Oh, I don't think it's about complaining. I'm just saying you really brought in and you've gotten all this attention and all this hoopla over Julio Jones, and you're selling 2 jerseys are flying off the racks and they're going to be at Nissan Stadium. And oh, by the way, they're selling more tickets than they've sold in a long, long time for actual Titans fans to see Julio Jones. The excitement is there and he catches 52 balls this season. I just don't see.
I'm not worried about it. I think he's going to catch more than that. I just don't think that even a worry. I mean, that's why I took the over in 78.5. He's going to
79.5. The point is he going to get to 80 or more?
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
I think AJ is going to get his too.
I didn't think that there's going to be. I am not factoring in a drop off. What was AJ Brown's? And by the way, Willie wanted me to set an AJ Brown over under, and I didn't do that. We didn't get to it yesterday.
Last year, AJ had 70 receptions, just over 1,000 yards, 1,075, but he averaged 15.4 yards a reception with 11 touchdowns.
So 52 is rookie year, 70 last year. I'm going to go I'm going to go, his over under is 70 and a half.
Mm. Over.
Does he have a better year? Does he keep climbing or less catches? Or should I do 79 and a half with AJ Brown as well?
Ooh, now that's interesting.
See? How about 79 and a half? How about we go 79 and a half for AJ Brown, 79 and a half for Julio Jones?
Hmm. Ah, man. You've made it hard now.
That's going to be our numbers.
I'm going to say slightly under that. I think he goes over 70, but I think he's right there in the middle of 70, 79 and a half. So Julio would have a little bit more.
I agree. I think he's all over it. I think he could. I think the number is like somewhere between 74 and 77.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would probably take the under.
And it's the yak. It's the yak that I factor in. And even though, you know, his career yards per reception, 70.4. I just think the yak really helps him. Does Julio too, but AJ being only 24 years old, I think you're going to see even more of that. And so he doesn't need to have as many catches because he can burn you with a big play by, you know, catching a 15-yard pass and turning it into 30.
I'd be curious, Elijah, put that out there. See what the listeners think. What are you taking? 79 and a half. Julio Jones over under catches, 79 and a half. AJ Brown catches over under. Wonder what everybody thinks.
So he averaged last year, this is AJ, yards after catch per reception, 6.2 yards after catch, and had 432 yards after catch last year. And Julio had 4.5 per reception, 231 yards after catch, granted in a shorter season. The year before that, only 3.7 yards after catch per reception. So AJ, a little better in that category than Julio. So you gotta factor that in. I mean, that's going to be important. Whereas you may look at AJ's receptions and they could be lower, but he could end up with more yards just because of the yak.
Seems like right now, and mini camps are done. They are done. They're going on a 5-week hiatus, and then it's training camp, and it's on. Yeah. It seems like through the OTAs and mandatory mini camp, that Janoris Jenkins garnered a lot of attention. He mm-hmm. caught people's eye in a good way.
Yeah.
And obviously the way he was playing was a good replacement for Malcolm Butler. And two, the way he was playing, maybe it rubs off on a lot of the young guys they've got in that secondary.
I hope so.
How big of a year do they need from the Jackrabbit? How big of a year do they need Jenkins to have in that secondary?
Well, right now I'm going to say big. And the reason that I say that is because I couldn't tell you what you're going to get out of your second year in rookie guys in the secondary, because Christian Fulton was basically a non-factor because he was hurt. And we've said this time and time again that you got to get, number one, you got to get more out of your second year guys, out of last year's draft class as a whole. And Fulton, obviously, a big part of that. But you got to get more out of this rookie class. And Elijah Molden has shown some flashes, even though you really got to see what he looks like in training camp. But what is Caleb? How much of a factor is Caleb Farley truly going to be in his rookie year?
Don't know.
You knew the risk, so I don't think anyone. I don't think the expectations are super high, at least not right now, because he hadn't even been on the field yet. You got to see what that looks like. So that puts more pressure on Janoris Jenkins. You cut Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler was the best corner on this team last year, not even close. Had huge production for you. You cut him for salary cap reasons, and you bring in Jenkins. You cut Adoree Jackson, And now you're hoping that you can get more out of these young guys. So right now I'd say you're hoping for a lot out of Janoris Jenkins. Now, if the rookies come out, the second year guys and rookies come out in training camp and early on in the season, and you feel good about that, then okay, that's going to take some production away. Probably you don't have to put as much on him. You're hoping that the secondary overall is improved and not just one guy.
I didn't hear anybody really, you know, listening to Teron Davenport on our airwaves, you know, listening to Joe Rexroad in the mornings, or even David Beauclair filling in for him. People that have been out there, because obviously they're doing this stuff on our show, so during our show time hour, so we're not able to see anything. Remember, one of my concerns of something I don't like here in mid-June is rookie production.
Yeah.
Can they get any rookie production, which was a zero factor last year? They need rookie production. Can they get that from Caleb Farley? Can they get that from Molden? Can they desperately need
Fitzpatrick?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much they're relying on production out of him. I mean,
he's going to do, I think they're expecting him, whether it's special teams or situational things, they're expecting something out of him because they want to get value out of a fourth round pick. Now, granted, that was before they traded for Julio, the when they drafted him. Julio changes things. I expect him to make the team. He's going to be a part of this receiver group, but you know, it, again, you talk about pressure, it's going to put even more on a fourth round pick, because every time you get a chance, you got to do something with it, and you're not going to have a lot of chances.
Yeah. They need those guys. They need production from the rookies this year. We will come back and give you an opportunity to win Eric Clapton tickets. You're going to have to jump in there. Fill up those phone lines like you've been doing all week at 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's the only way you're going to be able to participate. These are great tickets. September, Bridgestone Arena, plus at high noon. You just made the list. We've also got a great prize for that. You've been watching the U.S. Open. It's been going on. And so you know that the third major is happening. It's underway. And DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving you a shot to land one on the green, something I strive for all the time when I play and rarely ever have it happen. This week, DraftKings is giving you 100-1 odds on Bryson DeChambeau sinking at least one birdie this weekend. But if you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook, this is the time. That's 100-1 odds on Bryson DeChambeau hitting a birdie during this major. 100-1 odds on an offer like this does not come around very often, so you need to sign up right now. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME. When you sign up, turn $1 into $100 in free credits if DeChambeau sinks a birdie this weekend. That code again, 1025GAME. Turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. It's your time to jump in there. Get involved. We've got a great prize. Last one. Last chance this week. You've been had a lot of fun. You've had opportunities. You've been listening. You know what we're doing. DJ Elijah is going to spin that Eric Clapton tune backwards. And if you correctly guess it, you're going to Eric Clapton at Bridgestone Arena on September 21st. But right now, Chase, we are really lacking the participation. I don't know what's going on this Friday. Maybe everybody's at the pool. Nobody's working. You should be listening at the pool while you've got a cold drink in your hand, but we've got some people, but we don't have loaded lines. We've had loaded lines all week. It's time to get some people involved. It's time to get people on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That number is 615-737-1025.
While you do that, Elijah has put the poll question on our Twitter account at 1025 The Game. He's put two up there. Your over under for Julio Jones at 79.5. 49% say over, 51% say under.
So tight,
neck and neck. And then the other, the same over under at 79.5 for AJ Brown. 76% say over, 24% saying under.
Wow. Now, what a love for AJ Brown.
That's interesting. And I said slightly under.
So did I.
And over for Julio. So I think it what this is telling me early on is, and I don't look at this as one's the one, one's the two. With Corey Davis here, AJ Brown became the one, Corey Davis was the two. But with these two, I mean, I truly believe it's 1A, 1B. That's what it feels like, or it's going to feel like.
Well, the listeners don't feel that way.
No.
They feel like this is AJ Brown.
They're saying it's one AJ, two Julio.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Barrett. He's first up here on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, as we are live here in Gladeville, Tennessee at the Nashville Super Speedway. He wants to give a crack at it. DJ Elijah, are you ready?
I was born ready today.
I am shocked that Barrett has not won yet.
Well, he's been, you weren't on the show yesterday. He's been stiffed 2 days in a row because he was next up. I just go in order.
Yeah.
As the lines, you know, load up, and the next in line, and the person before him 2 days in a row has won.
Barrett, this could be your day.
So he was smart. He got in first today.
That's good.
Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. DJ Elijah. Spin that, Eric Clapton. Oh,
whoa,
that was short. Okay, you want to hear it again?
Please, I didn't get that at all.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, man.
Okay, hold on. That was the shortest one you've done this week, Elijah. So
that's about 5 seconds.
All right. I'm going to let this one more time. So I think Barrett's getting warm. One more time, and then we need an answer.
After midnight.
DJ Elijah, after midnight?
We're all shaking our head. After midnight.
We're all shaking our head now.
Oh, well, thanks, guys.
All right, have a good weekend.
Enjoy the
race. I'm going to be honest. I can hear it, and I can't quite place it.
Oh, well, this is what we've had happen, too, all week. People start dropping off. By the way, Elijah usually has three in the kitty, right? The coffer. So it may be that. It may be something else.
I have an idea because I just looked at song titles.
615-737-1025. What is the gathering over there? What do we got going on? We're by the haulers. I don't know. That's a pretty large group.
Could be some sort of meeting.
Like a tour? Oh yeah, that could be.
I don't know.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's bring in James. James, you are up next on our WilsonCountyHyundai.com phone lines. Are you ready?
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, the best concert I've ever been to, and I've been to over 100, was Eric Clapton with Elton John in Atlanta. That was by far the best concert I've ever seen. But anyway, I'm ready.
Wow. What year
incredible.
Are we talking about?
Well, it was 1993. It was Eric Clapton had done a duet called The Runaway Train with Elton John. And that's the song they did their, when they come back out afterwards.
Encore.
They did that song together for their encore. It was absolutely an amazing show. And it was down in Atlanta. It was in 1993.
Wow. That sounds like a really cool show. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, since you told a cool story to get things started, do you want what you just heard or do you want a fresh song?
I got it right, by the way. I texted Elijah.
I want a fresh song, please, and thank you.
Fresh song, DJ Elijah.
All right, so you ready?
Ready.
Yep.
It's still the number.
Hey,
where you can see the
we're looking. Somebody, we're looking at each other like we have four heads.
Somebody was beeping in during all that. Can you play for me one more time? I have no idea. I'm going to take a guess, take a swing at defenses. I'm going to say that's it's probably wrong. I'm just going to say, oh, gosh. Lay down Sally. I don't know. I know it's not right.
Okay. Yeah, actually, when James said that, I was like, maybe that was. I don't know. James, we appreciate the story. Thanks for participating.
You got it.
Let's go to Lance. Lance, what's your level of confidence right now to this point?
Well, I wasn't expecting different songs to get played. I was super confident about the first one.
So, with that being said, would you like to get the first song?
Yeah, I mean, I already have a guess for that.
Let's just play it just for people tuning in. Maybe have not heard it, so let's make it official. DJ Elijah, spin that first song backwards.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with I Shot the Sheriff.
We had that earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Lance. Have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Thanks. 615-737-1025. Man, I thought that. So,
and I have gotten this. I know this one.
Okay.
Now, the second one, I have no idea.
Yeah, we looked at each other. That was the look of just fear. I think if that was me on the line, I would just hang up.
It's one of Eric Clapton's 17 bands that he was in. That's what I'll say.
All right. 615-737. Now, there's been Elijah just doesn't have enough arms.
No, he doesn't.
To answer all these phone calls and to get somebody up there. But as soon as we get a name, we will go to the next contestant. By the way, congratulations. If you did not hear, Tony Vitello has been named the National Coach of the Year. All right, we have a name on the screen. Let's go to Paul. You are up next. Paul, how do you feel on what you've heard to this point?
Well, pretty good. So the last one was Layla, and the first one I had that I've forgotten what it was. So if you want to play the first one, I'll get that one too.
Like the first one I played this segment, or when you say the last one, was it the last one what I recently played, or last in the order in which I played them?
What you recently played for that guy was Layla. And then the one that you started off the segment with, play that one for me again, but I can get it too. That one's Lay Down Sally.
Paul was all over.
Yeah.
He's two for two. He got both right.
So the second one was Layla?
It was.
No. The second one,
the first one was Lay Down Sally. Okay. And then he just played it again. But the second song you played was Layla?
That was Layla. That was a different part of Layla.
I've got to be honest. We looked at each other in fear when we heard that song. I had no clue that was Layla. Wow. You don't get to go to two shows. You just get to go to one. But well done.
Cool. Thank you.
And we're going to put him on hold. Yeah, he was very, very confident. Now he's going to get to see that show. The good news is, for Paul, even if Clapton does do a couple songs backwards, he'll know them.
Yeah.
But I don't think he will on September 21st.
And Clapton's the type, too. He has so many songs that, you know, he does a different set list every night. Sometimes you might not hear. I mean, there's been times he's been here, he hasn't played Layla.
Yeah.
So.
September 21st at Bridgestone Arena. Paul, well done. DJ Elijah, well done. We will come back, and you're going to tell us who is on your list. Another music theme for the prize. Pair of four-day passes to Bonnaroo. Hello, the headliner, Foo Fighters. But you're going to have to tell us who or what has made you mad. We do that to begin the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.